This is the left wing and the right wing.
I'd like to welcome everyone and call this meeting to order at 6 o'clock now that all of our board members are here. Roll call, please.
Chairman Rosenblum.
Here.
Vice Chairman Cushing Adams.
Here.
Secretary Scheifel.
Here.
Treasurer Mahoney.
Here.
And Director Stevens.
Here.
Public input. Thank you. Secretary's report.
We have a series of minutes backlog, and over the past month there has been a good deal of corrective actions taken on the minutes themselves. They have been posted. They were posted to the website, and I have a motion to approve minutes with one very, very minor modification on page 24. We identify the person's name that is incorrect, and if we just eliminate the name, the sentence is correct as it is. So if we would just delete that one person's first name, we are correct on those minutes.
So
I'm making a motion. I move to approve the minutes for September of 2015, October 2015, December of 2015, and January of 2016.
A second.
Thank you. Discussion.
What's the change?
Dropping the first name. It's an incorrect name.
Okay. So Bill Staunce's wife, Mary. Her name is Janet.
Strike the word Mary.
Just drop the word Mary and the sentence is perfectly okay.
Got it. So with changes?
With changes, yes.
Good. With changes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Treasurer's report.
Okay, we're looking at January data. Let's see, the pages in question begin with page 26. The month ended with a minor unfavorable variance, negative outflow. The drivers were an adjustment made to fuel farm income for known overcharging that was addressed in the December minutes. That correction took place in the January numbers. That was offset by lower than expected costs for full-time and part-time wages and the benefits that went along with those, including workers' compensation. The net effect of all of this was to actually do a little bit better than what the expected performance was by $1,500. Move to accept the report as written.
A second.
Pending audit.
Pending audit. Thank you for the correction.
A second.
And there's a second. A discussion.
I just have a question. I'm sorry, I don't have the page with me, or I identified it, but I noticed something in the budget. There's this $3,000 budgeted for the board. What is that for?
Divided by six is. Divided by five is $600 a piece.
Yeah, that was a board stipend that was budgeted. It was not paid out last year. That's for on occasion a board member will have an expense pending,
So stipend / expenses.
And that's something the board will decide on when we get close to the end of the year and we'll see where the budget winds up. Any other questions? Yes, Alderman.
Thank you. So where do we stand fiscal year today? We're on a fiscal year, right? So where do we stand fiscal year today? Are we ahead, behind? And what are our projections? Is yours?
Yeah, we are behind year to date. As stated, by $25,000, and the some of the work that you're going to see, I think, Alderman, in looking at the leases and some of the other work that's, I think, even on the agenda tonight, are going to work to address some of that.
If those things aren't addressed, we expect to finish negative. I know in the past we've had negative projections, and then somehow it's worked out in the end.
We did receive some one-time monies the past few months. We received a FEMA reimbursement. We sold assets, and we have finance income of $15,000, which offset a lot of the shortfall. So as of January, we're pretty close to what we are expected on budget. But to carry that forward for the next 5 months, we'll ask the treasurer to take a look at that for the next meeting.
One other thing that's of note is that to this point, we had budgeted an expectation of registration fees in the amount of $23,000, and that hasn't been received at this point. So we're off by $25,000 in bottom line to this point in the year. $23,000 if the fees had come through would have been enough to almost break even.
But we're still expecting it.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's my point. It's a timing thing more than a straight loss.
What I see is year to date, so far this fiscal year, we're only $1,500 short of our budget. Am I reading that right?
If you take into account the registration fees?
No.
You're looking at this is the one that's looking out.
I'm looking at the last line item on 27.
$23,000.
Oh, so she's taking the 23. Yeah, she's reflecting it there. So yeah. Okay. Then she's incorporated already the issue that I'm discussing. So correct, $1,500.
Short
behind at this point.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?
I have Mike.
Just a minor correction. Also, the registration fees we're anticipating is actually $40,000, not $25,000.
But to this point?
We haven't received any. We won't receive them until probably May, April or May.
Mm-hmm.
And we're anticipating.
We have budgeted $40,000.
Correct. Yeah.
And we're expecting to receive all of it?
Yeah. We got a one lump sum at the end of the fiscal year.
That'd be great. A motion on the floor to accept the treasurer's report. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. I would like to add one more financial item under this, and I'd like to entertain a motion to add the signatories Michael Mahoney and Bob Scheifel, and to remove Gordon Jackson and Dick Moshigan as signatories on our checking and banking accounts.
I'll second. Is that a motion?
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next is our auditor's report. I'm sorry, Andy, do you have a question?
Mr. Chairman, question. You approved the January statements. What about November and December, which had been put off in past meetings? Have those been approved
nope.
as well?
Yes. November was approved, and it's posted.
Yeah.
It's
part of the minutes.
Right.
Part of the minutes.
December?
Well, there was no November. It was...
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There was no meeting in December and November.
Just
December.
Please remember to state your name for the record, okay?
Do we answer the question?
I'm not sure. Have both November and December statements been approved?
There is no November. There was no meeting.
But well, December.
December
we
was done tonight.
We just did it.
I thought this was January.
We did that too.
The other ones were tabled.
Okay.
Tabled for correction.
Yeah. This evening we approved September, October, December, and January.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I think we're talking about two different
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
I think you're talking about minutes and you're talking about financial
statements. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. The financial statements are approved at the end of every finance report.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we've ever tabled them, Andy. They're usually approved right after the report is given.
Yeah.
But it's been, I'm sorry, well, Never mind.
I don't remember. Have any been taped?
There's no November. There's only December. And I'm sure we approved that in January when we met.
Yeah, the November's financials were incorporated in when we did the January board meeting.
And that should be right here, right?
Yeah. It's 2 months at a time.
I think I remember discussing the fact that you weren't going to go over both reports, just
right.
using the January, just using the December report.
Because it was incorporated, November was incorporated in there.
Yeah, I remember discussing them and approving them in January.
I'm looking at the minutes now.
Okay. We waived discussing November since we had December. There's no point in discussing November.
And there were no questions. So
that's right.
Want to state your name?
Matthew Murray from Bashan Fouquet and Company. We're the authority's independent auditors. I apologize for not making it to the last meeting. I would be here, and it was at the end of the year when I mentioned it, and I forgot to stick it to my calendar, so my apologies. One of the important communications that we do is the governance letter, and it's communicated to the members of the board. It goes through any significant changes that occurred during the year for the reporting process and material adjustments that we had to make, as well as if there are any reported deficiencies. In the current year, the authority had one new reporting standard that I have to comply with, which I will get into. It's statement number 68, reporting the authority's proportionate share of the New Hampshire retirement system's unfunded liability, and the total liability for the total unfunded liability for the New Hampshire retirement system is based off of an evaluation that was done as of the previous fiscal year. So it's the numbers that you're seeing in your financial statements are the June 30th, 2014 numbers. They're not the June 30th, 2015 numbers. The way the standard is written, they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to be behind by that much. And the actual numbers themselves, as of June 30th, 2015, weren't released until the beginning of February. So it was like within the first couple of days of February is when the June 30th data was available. The total unfunded liability was roughly $3.7 billion. And National Airport Authority's proportionate share, which the way that the New Hampshire retirement system allocates it, is based off of the total contributions in from all members. And the airport authority's share was roughly $269,700 of that liability. One of the things to keep in mind is that's not an actual amount that if you had the cash, you can cut a check and be done with it. It would go in as your contribution in and then be allocated to everybody else based on the proportionate share. So even if you did have the money to pay it, you would not want to pay it.
But if you did that, would that remove the liability for all time? In other words, I know that this is a point where the pensions are underfunded by a certain amount of money, and the reason, and what this is recognizing is that if magically everybody threw in $3.7 billion, you'd have as much as you needed to be able to pay out all the pensions that are in the system right now. If you paid the $269,700, would that remove the liability from you forever?
From the authority?
Yeah, hypothetically, no. So,
no.
Got it.
There are multiple things that actually go into it. It's calculated by actuaries, and there are differences in the projected earnings versus the actual earnings. So, one thing I was just looking on my phone. For between fiscal year June 30, 2013 and June 30, 2014, they had investment earnings in excess of $680 million of what they estimated. And then what they do is they take a portion of that and they amortize it over 5 years, and it gets allocated as your proportionate share of the pension expense. So at the end of the year, I believe it was $600 million just over was the actual amount. And then at the end, the cumulative portion that hasn't been rolled into a deferred inflow or outflow of resources was $480,000. And I already know from seeing the June 30th, 2015 valuation that their investments underperformed from the amount that they estimated that they would perform at. So it'll swing the opposite way. They'll be net together as the cumulative balance difference and amortized over 5 years.
So that going forward, if our unfunded liability, say next year at year end, was $300,000, we would only record as an expense the difference of the two?
No, because there are, it's extremely complicated to explain, because it's not just taking, here's the net pension liability at the beginning of the year, and then the difference between everything is your pension expense that kind of gets rolled into the additional increase in the liability. The items that they have out right now are, you've got your differences in your change in your proportionate share. So previously, you know, you may have had more contributions into the New Hampshire retirement system because of employees with higher earnings, and going from some full-time employees down to part-time employees now that aren't eligible for the New Hampshire retirement system. So your proportionate share of the contributions in, whether your share increases relative to the total contributions in or whether it decreases, gets allocated as a deferred inflow or deferred outflow of resources, and then gets amortized over the estimated remaining life of the member participants, which at June 30th, 2014 was roughly 5.6076, I think, and then at June 30th, 15 it's 5.3941, I believe. Don't quote me exactly on the numbers, but the information is available at New Hampshire Retirement System's website. So if you went to NHRS.org, you can search for their actuarial valuations and the reports that they put together that have been audited by KPMG, which show you your collective deferred inflows and outflows, as well as what gets recognized as pension expense that should tie back to the number that's in the financial statements every year.
So every other organization that's participating in the state retirement plan is booking this unfunded pension liability?
It is going on their financial statements. Booking it depends on whether they are the authority's proprietary fund and business type. So all of the numbers actually go into their accounting records, their books, mm-hmm. versus, you know, we do a lot of audits for municipalities. Mm-hmm. And with municipalities, you have your government-wide statements, which are similar to what get presented for the Airport Authority, and you have your governmental fund financial statements, which is your modified accrual basis. So it doesn't have long-term assets, long-term liabilities, the deferred inflows and outflows related to the pension. Those don't show up in their records, and then we have to bring their records from the modified accrual basis to the full accrual basis.
Do you know offhand if the city of Nashua has recorded it the same way?
They would, and I can actually, if I can get you the number that goes on to theirs, if you would like.
So is someone going to show up with a chain and a padlock and close the airport?
No. It is really pushed almost all the municipalities that we've done into a deficit net position.
Boy, you lost me at hello. But let me see if I understand this correctly, okay? The fact that the pension funds investments haven't been performing according to their forecast and what they've been distributing out means that everybody who participates in the state pension fund is behind and has a liability.
Correct.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we don't necessarily have to book that liability. We can ignore it because the state's not going to come pounding on us looking for money. Well, they might, but couldn't that just turn right around when the economy turns around and the investment performance improves more? And just like if the investment performance was higher than was allocated, we wouldn't be going to the state asking for contributions back to us, okay?
It's theoretically possible, but in my life, I've never seen it happen.
Okay. So when is all... What's the dangers? When does all this catch up to us and bite us in the bum?
It theoretically never will. The only way that it will affect you is if the New Hampshire retirement system raises their rates, their contribution rates, and the employer is required to, which I believe for, it's either fiscal year 17 or 18, I believe that they're talking, or it's already been potentially approved to increase the rates. So all along, when they put it, when they had employees contribute a portion of their paycheck in, and then the employers contributed in as well, theoretically what they're finding now is that what was contributed all along, plus the benefits that are paid out post-retirement, people living longer than anticipated, it is severely underfunded. And
voodoo economics.
That's why you don't see pensions in major corporations anymore.
I'm sure that everybody in here that's in business runs their business that way too. So,
so you know, every time I turn around, I'm being told that our employees aren't city employees, they're not state employees. We're allowed to join the state pension fund. Is it something that we should explore dropping out of? And if we do so, would it cost us $239,000?
It would not cost you $239,000. However, I don't know if they will let you drop out. We do an audit for, it's a small charter school. They were enrolled in the New Hampshire retirement system. Their liability, I believe, is roughly similar to what you guys had, and when they questioned the New Hampshire retirement system about the potential to withdraw, they kind of got pushed aside, and they went with a lawyer out of Maine, and they incurred a significant amount of legal fees to be able to withdraw. And you still have to be able to demonstrate to the New Hampshire retirement system that you have a pension plan in place that is offering benefits as good as what the New Hampshire retirement system is. So rather than, you know, when they finally did successfully withdraw, and it cost them in legal fees, 20-something, 30-something thousand dollars, and then on top of that, the New Hampshire retirement system came back to them and said, you want to withdraw? Then they had their actuaries calculate the unfunded accrued liability. Maybe it was the actuary accrued liability that they said, you need to pay us this amount as of this date, and then their new valuation doesn't show that they've successfully removed the entire net pension liability and the related deferred inflows and outflows of resources. I believe that is because the actuaries just did a roll forward method instead of a complete revaluation, which they'll have to do, I believe, for the fiscal year 16. So we will actually see if what they paid in went to pay the estimated liabilities, you know, going forward with the investment earnings as of that date. So long story short, it would be extremely difficult to withdraw. It has been done.
But so realistically, you attrit. The people that are on the pension stay on the pension until they're gone. But is there any reason why you would have to extend? Is there anything in the pension rules for the state of New Hampshire that require you to offer to new employees? Or can you offer an alternative?
I would say, without looking at the actual RSAs, I think once you're enrolled in the New Hampshire retirement system, if you have a full-time employee come on and eligible for benefits, I believe that they have to be enrolled in the New Hampshire retirement system as well.
Interesting.
Please continue with other...
Okay.
Items.
So this is now the seventh year in a row that we have come out, done the audit, and it's actually been a single audit in accordance with OMB Circular 8133, which basically means that the Airport Authority expended over $500,000 in federal awards. That is changing for next fiscal year. It'll be an audit in accordance with uniform guidance, and the threshold has increased from $500,000 to $750,000. Through our audit, you know, the authority expended roughly $1,010,000 in federal funds over the course of what the state and federal government have determined is, we'll say it's five projects, but it's really four projects with one that's been extended out, which is the perimeter fence. They refer to it as two separate projects, but in the actual award letter, it was identified as one total award. And we had no findings in internal control efficiencies or on any compliance with the testing of the major expenditures that we had to do as a result of the audit. So the authority is in compliance with all the requirements that they're supposed to be. For the current year, because of the GASB 68, we weren't able to present comparative financial statements as we always have in the past for the authority, and it's because we don't have the data to be able to present it, because the deferred inflows and outflows of resources aren't available as of June 30th, 2014. We had no management recommendations in the current year as a result of the audit. The authority received an unmodified opinion on the financial statements, which basically it just nothing is wrong with the financial statements. And if you have the financial statements in front of you, you can look at pages 16 through 23, and that refers to the section that is all of the work for the single audit, the compliance. They'll list out the individual programs and the schedule expenditures of federal awards, show the various expenditures that the authority did incur on the individual projects. As I stated earlier, the deferred inflows and outflows of resources, the various portions related to the authority's proportionate share, they have a deferred inflow of resources for the difference in the investment earnings versus the projected amount, and that would be the $600 million, which amortized one year is $480,000. So, I mean, $480 million. So, out of that $480 million, the district is reporting, the authority is reporting a $34,500 deferred inflow of resources.
Sorry, what was the page reference again?
For which one?
The figure you're just citing?
For the. That is on the statement of net position, which is page one. You're going to see it aggregated.
Yep.
Within the notes to the financial statements, if you go to page nine, it lists out all the individual components of the deferred inflows and outflows of resources. So they've got roughly $34,500 for their proportionate share in the difference of the earnings over the projected amount. And then they have a, so the authority has a $120,800 roughly deferred inflow related to the change in their proportionate share of net pension liability. And then they've got a deferred outflow of resources for contributions subsequent to the measurement date, which those are the employer's portion that is not the medical subsidy. So there's two components that go into what you pay into the New Hampshire retirement system. There's the pension percentage, and then there's the medical subsidy. The portion of the authority's contributions subsequent to the June 30th, 2014 measurement date, which is basically anything that was contributed on behalf of the employees during fiscal year 15 for the authority, was roughly $23,400.
Excuse me, Matthew.
Yes.
I'm looking at page one, which is the statement of net position.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to try to determine, where our operating surplus or shortfall was at the end of June. And I see there's a shortfall, a deficit of $30,000 in that position, but that's after you're recording a net pension liability of $270,000.
Yes.
So am I correct in saying that our unrestricted fund balance would be approximately $240,000?
Well, you have the deferred inflows and outflows related to that as well.
Well, what's the figure that at the end of the year of our operating unrestricted fund balance?
Would it be okay if I got back to you on that figure?
Sure.
Because without the financial statements and the actual records in front of me, it's difficult for me to go through and say, okay, here's your deficit net position. If the net pension liability theoretically did not exist, this is where you would stand, and your deferred inflows and outflows would have to go back into those figures as well.
But it's not as simple as the statement on three on page III that the net revenue earned from users of the airport is $475,000. I think where Mike is trying to go with it is if I strip away the balance sheet items that are not cash items at the moment, and I look at just how I performed, it would be safe to say it was positive.
For the year?
Yeah.
You would want to go to the statement of cash flows. That shows you what physically did occur during the year on a cash basis. And I believe that's page three.
Yeah.
So you've got your various components within there. You've got your cash, I believe this year it was used by operating activities, as well as cash used by financing activities. And then I believe
so we had an increase of $21,000
in your cash.
In cash.
Yes.
Okay, which added to the beginning cash balance of $50,000.
Yes.
Okay.
So on a cash basis, that's what happened. The authority took in $21,000 more than it spent out in cash.
And on capital projects, we spent $66,000. No, it's $56,000 more than we took in. It's sort of on capital projects. I'm looking at purchase of capital assets and capital contributions, and the difference is $56,000.
Okay, the capital contributions is what you received in from the federal government and the state of New Hampshire for their proportionate share on the projects during that current year, and what the authority physically had to pay out on those projects as well.
How about the timing of that? I mean, there's not a work in progress here that kind of brings it in, or
there, not on a statement of cash flows. The statement of cash flows is physically this was the cash in, this was the cash out. I know for a fact that the changes in the amounts due from other governments and your accounts payable related to majority of the projects, it went down during the year because of certain things like the pieces of equipment, like the snow blow for clearing the runway, as well as the purchase of the building in the prior year for the runway approach. Those all got paid, all were incurred with amounts paid out subsequent to year end. So it was paid out in fiscal year 15 for activity that occurred in 14, as well as the authority getting the money in.
So, I guess it doesn't matter whether we actually have the cash in or not, as long as we've billed the state for it.
Yes.
I mean, if we're paying the bills, as long as we invoice the reimbursable, the contributions.
Yep, the way that the majority of the grants work, at least for the Airport Authority, is that you guys incur everything, your engineers put together a packet that gets, whether it be brought to Stephen to go through a review, and then that gets submitted to the state of New Hampshire.
Right.
And, you know, your vendors, in even your engineering firm, they're well aware that, you know, they're not going to get paid right away, but when the projects are completed to certain stages, at that point you file a reimbursement with the state, and then the state is, there seem to be relatively quick in getting the money to the authority, and then the authority typically cuts a check within 2 to 3 days of the actual receipt of the funds.
Right.
And one of the things that's really kind of driving the fact that you have more outflows from capital items is the funding on the grants used to be 95, 2.5, with the authority share 2.5, and now it's gone to 90, 5 from the state and 5 from the authority. So they're not funding as much as they used to, which is helping to put more of a constraint on the authority. And that's one of the reasons why you see certain things, like you guys used to have the CDs that you no longer have, and some of that is actually related to, you know, one of your acquisitions for a piece of property for the runway approach is that was an outflow last year that you guys didn't get paid for until fiscal year 15, and it's one of those you have to go through and do certain things, and then you have to settle on that date, and until you know the settlement price and everything is done, you know, the state and the federal government, they're not going to really fund you on that. And it's one of those, it has to be done relatively quick, too. Right. From
I got another question. Yep. What is this line, the $1.3 million for reconciliation of operating activities?
That's the operating loss. So if you go to page 2, so what you're showing is your actual operating revenues on the accrual basis of accounting are $524,000, and your operating expenses are roughly $1.8 million. And what you guys aren't seeing on that is that the majority of that is depreciation expense.
Right.
So when you guys get, you know, a lot of it is the runway projects that were put into, when the project was finally complete, it was put into service during fiscal year 14. You didn't have the full year worth of depreciation for it, and then in fiscal year 15, you've got the full year worth of depreciation on that. A lot of your other federal projects, your capital assets, they haven't been fully depreciated, so that number, you're going to see it continue to kind of increase over the course of the next few years, and it's just, it's additions that have gone to increase your net position. So if you looked at page 1, your net investment in capital assets, your $27,391,000, those are all your various projects that you've done that have been capitalized. Your runway projects, which I believe are about $16.5 million, plus all the other equipment, and then it gets depreciated over the useful life, and that's why you're seeing an operating loss of $1.3 million. Now, if they continued to have runway projects for you guys to do, you wouldn't have, you still would have your operating loss because of depreciation, but you would have more in capital contributions at the bottom.
Right. But if we took the depreciation out of the, on page 2, out of the
yes.
revenue and expenses,
yep.
we would have a roughly a $10,000 surplus.
Putting it back on a cash basis, yeah.
Yeah.
Roughly, yes.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe $12,000. Right. That would be your operating profit.
Operating for the surplus, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Just one question.
Yes.
With respect to the answer that you're going to provide to the chairman, if you could do that let's say by email or something, so that the chair can get it?
Oh, yeah.
We can get it in the minutes?
Yep.
But the same minutes as opposed to delaying it?
Yep.
Please.
Did you find everything you needed in order to complete your audit on a timely basis?
In the current year, yes. I know we had some small little struggles with the New Hampshire time and stuff, getting the information, getting it into the records.
That books were in order, and
I know there was a big changeover from having Susan to go into Mary Beth in the current year, and I know Susan kind of stayed on through towards the end and kind of, and helped out with Mary Beth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a big change, but it wasn't anything that we were, you know, all the records were physically at the authority itself. It was just a matter of, you know, maybe Susan, because she'd been there for 2 years, she knew where everything was, whereas Mary Beth was only part-time and really had only been there 3 or 4 months by the time we showed up for the audit. But everything is available there, and if it was something that we did need, we'd let Stephen know and he'd get in touch with whether it be your engineering firm to get us the piece of the information, or I know one of the things that kind of threw us for a little bit of a loop this year was the state of New Hampshire wired money, the federal government wired money back to the authority, and then the authority had to then give the money to the state of New Hampshire for, I believe,
there was some equipment that
excess funding that was available.
Yeah.
And it's very weird, and the way that the woman from the state explained it to me when she was there is the federal government gave the authority their proportionate share of the costs back. So I believe it was the 2.5%, and then 2.5% or 97.5% went to the state of New Hampshire, and then the state of New Hampshire then gave 95% back to the FAA. I don't know why they do it the way that they do, but that's.
Are there any other questions?
Do we have a motion to approve this?
Are you making a motion? I will entertain a motion to accept the audit report of June
30th,
2015.
Second.
So moved.
Sorry?
So moved. And second.
Seconded by John. Questions? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Extensions. Motion carries. Thank you.
I should be clear on it as well.
What
your request was that you wanted him to get back to you on.
The operating
would be without the. Okay, I'm going to put that down.
And I'm going to ask the airport manager to post the audit on our website.
Okay.
And if the public has any comments or questions, to please forward them, and we'll get a response back from you at some point.
Yeah. I should I'm out of the office tomorrow, but I will be back in the office on Friday. So
okay.
I'll make a note to do it first thing in the morning when I get in.
Thank you, and you don't need to hang around.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're dismissed.
Unless you want to.
I have to go back to my wife and my son, and I'm going to go to Lebanon tomorrow. So.
Okay. Communications, there were none this past month. Let's go to the reports. Tower report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This will be much simpler than your audit.
Really?
For the month of January 2016, we were up 1,244 operations over this same time period in 2015.
Well, that's a 48% increase.
Yeah.
48%.
Why?
Weather, most likely.
Was it Donald Trump and his company?
No, I don't know if they actually.
It's just warmer, pliable.
Weather was better this year than last year.
Yeah, much better. January 2015 was incredibly cold, record-breaking cold temperatures for that month. I think a lot of people just hunkered down in their houses.
Didn't we see an increase of activity because of the primary?
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, certainly it's possible.
They don't have to declare Democrat or Republican before they land or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Nope, we wouldn't make them do that. Hopefully we'll see that number continue to be a positive number for the rest of the year. For the pilots that are in here, thank you all. Flying, thank you very much. Keep it up. Our jet operations for the same time period were slightly higher than average. It was a good month for jet activity.
Any questions? Alderman Charlemagne.
Thank you. So, if we're up 1,244 operations, but jet was only up a little bit, that means the majority of this increase was piston-powered aircraft, small aircraft, not much corporate aircraft.
We average anywhere from 85 to 105 jet operations a month. So to try to describe it as a proportion of the total operations is a little difficult.
Okay, so we're up 1,244 operations?
Yeah.
And we have 85 to 105 jet operations.
Yeah, this month, for the month of January, I think we had 106.
106,
thank you. So it was a good month for jet operations.
Okay, so the vast majority of the 1244 increase were small aircraft.
Correct,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to slide into your...
yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wildlife activity in the airport has been light with no reported strikes. The Granite State Airport Management Association is holding their March quarterly meeting here in Nashua, and we're still trying to land on a location for that. Initial planning and coordination is underway to host an aviation workshop to encourage high school teachers to engage their students in STEM education, so science, technology, engineering, and math. It looks like we were hoping to have this teacher's workshop in conjunction with the coming up on April 2nd, which we'll talk about in just a minute, the New England Aviation Safety Expo, but timing-wise, it looks like it's a little better to have this in the fall. So, snow removal activity has gone smoothly for the most part with no equipment issues. It's been a relatively light year so far. And on January 19th through the 22nd, I attended the National Business Aviation Association Schedulers and Dispatchers Conference in Tampa, Florida. I was able to discuss our airport with dozens of charter companies, among other entities, in order to promote and market the airport. And lastly, the New England Aviation Safety Expo will be returning to Gorefield on April 2nd from 8 to 5 p.m. over at Daniel Webster College. I would encourage anybody to attend. There's 20-plus free workshops and classes that are offered that day. There are exhibitor booths, all kinds of different equipment and aviation-related companies and manufacturers. So it's really a great thing. We usually get dozens of fly-ins to the airport. It's really a great thing for the airport and for aviation in New England.
Is there a registration requirement?
There is not. Nope, just show up.
Can I ask a question? Sure. What is wildlife? Is it only birds or is it something on the ground as well?
No, it could be birds or terrestrial mammals.
What's do you see things running around on the ground?
We do. Yep, we do. We have deer occasionally on the airport. Coyotes and foxes, although we haven't seen any of that lately.
Okay.
But most of the time it is birds.
Okay. You want to mention the intern thing?
Yeah, I will. Thank you, Secretary Scheifel. We're working, we're going to be working with Daniel Webster College to try to get an intern for the office. So the requirement is about 15 to 20 hours per week for an aviation intern. So it was a great idea by Secretary Scheifel.
If I may, I just wanted to say, I was out in the hallway and I noticed that Daniel Webster College has got an intern at the Burlington Airport. And I was surprised when I found that they didn't have somebody at our airport. So we opened up the dialogue and the Dean of Aviation is pleased with it and wants to do it. And everything that I've read, being a non-pilot, I'm reading everything I can get my hands on with relationship to aviation, especially general aviation, and I've noticed that there's a trend of downward trend on young people coming into the flying field. And one of the ways to do this is to encourage the students who are here learning aviation management, et cetera, to get out here and get their feet wet. So that's what we're trying to do.
We've had it before, Roy?
Used to.
Yeah.
No pension, right?
No pension. Unfunded liability.
Andy?
Andy, that is the record. Steve, the NEAA meeting coming here, did you say it was April 22nd or 23rd? 22nd is a Friday. It's normally on Saturday, I thought.
The Aviation Expo.
Oh, the Aviation Safety Expo. It's April 2nd.
April 2nd. That's a Saturday.
Saturday, April 2nd.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions for the airport manager?
Well, I think maybe we should talk a little bit about snow removal because I know that was a big issue, so I will open up the discussion on that because a lot of people came to me. So maybe we can talk about plans for notifying people in the future, making sure we do that if the runway is going to be closed or if there's issues. Just want to make sure we get it out in the open. Farrell?
Farrell Woods for the record. So, excuse me, since we're talking about snow removal, I noticed driving by the end of my building today, 17, and you know, it's like one of the things that people are trying to do is to not push snow against our nice new fence, you know, for obvious reasons. But it looks like someone might have tried to angle a little bit to one side or the other, you know, to get some snow behind the buildings, between the buildings and the fence. And I noticed that some snow was pushed up against a gas meter at the end of my building.
Oh, okay.
And it's probably not a good thing.
We'll get that cleared up tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you for letting us know.
Any other questions?
Alderman Charlotte.
Thanks. On the snow removal down there, and I also noticed that it looked like some of the snow was pushing through the fence. The fence appears to be, going out. Anyone else see that? The chain down by the south end of the field there along Perimeter Road. Looks like it's being pushed out. Snow's up against the fence and it's being pushed. Fence is being torn from the pole. So maybe I saw something that's not there, but it looks like the fence is being pushed away from the pole. So we should just be careful about that.
Duly noted.
I find it hard to believe because Roy's not plowing anymore.
Oh.
Let's keep our personal attacks personal.
Who had 652 in the pool?
Yeah.
Point she would upset somebody.
Okay,
you good?
Airport engineer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Carmen Dufresne from Dale Associates for the record. Substituting tonight for Eric Strand. I'll go through this quickly for you. There are several projects that are in various phases of completion. The perimeter wildlife fence, we've been in touch with the contractor, and they're really just waiting for materials to come in to finish the punch list on that, the green slats, that sort of thing. They believe by early next week they should be, the materials should be in, at which point they'll schedule when they'll come down and get it finished. They have that. The change order for that project has been verbed, and that was for the vinyl slats that are going in the fence. That's been verbally approved by NHDOT, so we're going to have to submit the paperwork on that, but looks like that's going through okay. The property acquisition for 31 Sharon Ave, there was a concern about some minor puddling there, and we did notify the contractor, and they're going to take a look at it. They think it's the erosion control measures, actually, that are damming it up a bit. And they're just going to have to wait until the weather improves so they can do some minor regrading out there. So on that one, we're kind of waiting for the weather. That's true about 79 Pine Hill Road as well, about finishing that project. These are all restoration items that really can't be done with the snow on the ground, frozen conditions. The master plan, Gail did draft a preliminary scope of work that was sent to an independent fee estimator. Our proposed budget came to the airport, and the items were within 10% of each other, which is the FAA standard for whether or not the estimate is a reasonable estimate. However, NHDOT does not have that level of funding, so we did get back together with everyone and talk about the level of effort on various items of the scope of work. We have been able to work that down preliminarily, but Matt's been on vacation. Matt Karen, who's actually the project manager for that, I'm actually picking him up tomorrow night at Logan, but he'll be in on Friday, and early next week we'll sit down with Matt, go over the changes that we've made, and continue the discussion. I'm not anticipating a problem. This is pretty typical about scoping master plans. You always have various iterations before you settle on what people can actually do and what's affordable. So that's where that project lies at the moment. The pavement project. I think Eric got a hold of you, Dennis, for trying to schedule something for next week to get together and go over the phasing for that project and also some options with it. It's on schedule. We expect that the 95% plans will be out by the 26th of this month, and it'll be ready for hopefully the bid opening March 25th, because the grant application has to be into NHDOT by April 1st. So we're on schedule for that.
And when would you expect to meet that deadline? When would you expect funding? Any news from the DOT or the FAA on that?
No.
So another September funding, and we're trying to get it down before the end of the year.
I'm trying to be optimistic. I don't think it'll be September, but with the way that they're parceling out the money, that's what's making it difficult for the agencies to fund. On specifically on this project, I'll ask Carol tomorrow and drop you an email on that.
So you want to scope it and bid it out by March 15th?
We want to bid it out by March 15th, get the bids open March 25th, and submit the application by April 1st. That's the way these things usually are scheduled. And but when the money is available, that really is guesswork at this point.
Okay, so we need to meet next week.
Yeah. There really is no time to waste. I mean, it's a tight schedule, but it's certainly doable as long as we stay on it.
And I think we need to allow 2 full weeks for bidding. I'm pretty much in touch with the industry, and half the no bids I give out are because everybody's too busy to touch it.
Then we got to meet soon.
That's right. Yeah. Next week. Yeah. This week.
Yeah, this week.
Okay. That means tomorrow.
I don't even want to go in tomorrow. It's just adding up to be one of those days. We did update your disadvantaged business enterprise DBE plan, and that was approved by FAA, so you're all set in that regard for the next fiscal year. They only need an update when you make changes, but as everybody knows who's been in this business for a while, things are always changing. We scope projects out 3 years in advance, and by the time we get to that third year, everybody's thought of something different to do or expand or contract the scope or whatever. So whenever that happens, these DBE plans have to be changed, sent into FAA approved. And otherwise, that box cannot be checked at NHDOT. So when the money does come in, it won't be released until that box is checked.
How many disadvantaged businesses do we have?
There's quite a few in the state of New Hampshire. I mean, on your projects, usually we try to meet at least a 10%. We don't always make that. That's quite hard to do. Usually around 6-7% will be DBE. It all depends on the nature of the project. A difficult one is the master plan.
Mm-hmm.
We can't find DBE firms that can do components of the plan for us. I mean, we do have a DBE contractor that'll do the printing and that sort of thing, and we try to get somebody, but there are no DBE airport planning and engineering firms that just aren't in New England. And they have to be certified in New Hampshire, even though we find one in Rhode Island, doesn't necessarily mean that they qualify here.
So these are people you're looking for to work on the master plan?
Yeah, there's an entire database that the state operates, and we check it out. And we know the various disciplines that we need, so we'll check it out under each discipline and see.
So women and minorities?
Well, yeah, women, to make sure that not necessarily DBE, but yeah, it could be a women-owned firm. It has to be federally certified, and there's a lot of qualifications there.
On that same, on the airport master plan update, did you mention that you, did I hear you mention that you had preliminary quotes? And if so, are you at liberty to share, target figures or about what we're talking about here?
Yeah, the original project, the way that it was scoped, we estimated about 518, and I think the independent fee estimator came in at, 508?
And we wanted it to be around 350.
NACLT wanted it around.
Well, that's where we want it too. Remember, we got to pay for 5% of this. So, so there's the totals right there. Yeah. The summary of the totals.
Was there a particular area or thing that drove the surprise?
Yeah, turn the page. There's there's like a dozen pages there of a breakdown of every single task associated with achieving the deliverables for the master plan. And every task has man hours associated with it, whether it's an engineer or if it's a project manager or a CAD operator doing plans. And so they put it together, and what we did, Bob and I attended the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
What we did is we slashed and dashed, you know. We asked, is this really necessary? We put, and you know, there's a few items we actually added some hours to, because we wanted more intense, but what it was really comes down to, it's a master plan study, so it's mostly just labor, okay?
And so did we miss in our guess on rates, or did we miss on hours? What was the, in other words?
Oh, definitely hours.
It's hours. So there's more, it's got a greater content of hours than we anticipated when we were tossing around the number of 350.
And the rates are pretty much standard. I mean, the DOT does a lot of rate comparison, and the FAA. It's really a matter of hours, and really it comes down to the customer, us, deciding, okay, do we want to spend that much time doing this, or, and really what it came down to a lot of, correct me if I'm going to add to this, was saying, no, we're going to feed you some of that data. We got a lot of participants who want to get involved in this master plan. We're going to have a master plan committee. We can analyze our leases and feed you that data. You don't have to spend 50 hours going through our leases. So I volunteered this guy to cut the cost by $100,000. It was necessary to kind of share some of the work effort. Okay, so when we get underway, we plan to be involved.
It's definitely something that I want more input on, and I know you accidentally forgot to call me for the last meeting, but I would like to have.
Well, that's not really. The meetings, we have to have, well, we can't exceed 2 board members. Mm-hmm. And when we come to this, and I want to discuss this last month prior to the meeting, but when we come to it under old business, I remember we tabled this last year, last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We need to, as a board, agree to who are the 2 board members who are going to represent us, okay, at the meetings, or do we want to rotate it, or whatever.
I don't
think
just representing. I think just having knowledge, because I would like to definitely have some input, and not that I don't trust your skills.
In my defense, okay, see, she's on me. I got this at the meeting, okay. And we went through it in detail, each item during the meeting. And I've asked for an electronic copy, and I have not received it yet.
An electronic copy of what? spreadsheet?
Of all the hours and the tasks, the list of tasks and the hours associated with each task, so that I can distribute it to the board members.
Did you want an updated one, Dennis?
No, I just need an e-file.
Which one? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I'll give it to you after the meeting.
Okay.
Pretty much all the handouts that were given for the meeting for us to review and go over.
The old one.
Okay. We need an e-copy of it so that I can mill it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this was only 2 weeks ago today, I think.
I'd just like to offer a comment. This is an appropriate time to do it. It's indirectly related to this. I would like to see us have, first of all, we have a button on the website that says news that we're not putting any news on, and we ought to be putting all of the meetings and associations, etc., on there so that everybody has a chance to see it. But what about the board? What is our schedule? When are we going to talk about this? When are we going to talk about that? When are we going to consider these things as opposed to finding out here when, as you just mentioned, if there's more than two of us, we run into legal problems. Mm-hmm. We need a calendar of expectations. We're going to sit down and review the budget in June, or we're going to talk about the master plan in April, or so that we can make our own schedule and look forward to know what's coming up, what's coming down the road. And I don't think this is a difficult process. If everybody would feed it to me, I'll consolidate it and we'll put it on if it's public information, we'll put it out on the news button as to what's going on in the airport.
I think that's an excellent idea, and thank you for stepping forward and offering to do that. So if we can please funnel everything to Bob.
If something's happening, send it to me, and I'll put it on there, and I'll share it, send it to you, and put it on the website.
Sure. Anything else?
I was just going to add something, if I could, to the calendar idea. Once we settle on the scope, we develop our own in-house calendar with critical tasks in it, and I can supply that to you, and you can construct your meeting schedule around that if you want to. These things are always seem simple up front. They get complicated when you get in. And right now we're at the phase where we're trying to figure out among ourselves if we have a task like forecasting. You know, you can spend $50,000 on the forecast, or you can accept the FAA's forecast and growth rates for the airport. So we're in that decision state. How far do we go with this stuff? And a lot of that translates into funding, money.
So is it hard for you to funnel the information to us? Like, you know, you get these packets and you just send it out to the board members so we can all, we're allowed to review information. We don't have to make decisions, but we can get the information and digest it and understand it. And that way, you know, when whoever is discussing it with you, you know, we know what's going on.
I think this was made the night before the meeting for the most part. It's fluid. But I did that very thing, this task breakdown, I forwarded to you 2 months ago, 3 months ago, when we created these tasks. This was not, Gail didn't wake up and do that. We sat in a meeting 4 months ago, okay?
Yeah,
and we created this task, and you were invited to go, okay? And at the conclusion of that meeting, as soon as these tasks were written out, I emailed them to you to get your comments and receive no reply.
Okay. Are you guys able to forward us after you have meetings? Are you able to forward that information to us?
Well, it depends how much money you want to spend.
Usually
the way that I've been doing this for 20 years, but usually the way that it's done is an authority like you. Or an airport commissioner, or whoever is the owner of the airport, will form a committee of some kind, because there's just a ton of information that's going to be coming out of this thing. And the committee's job usually is to sit down and to go through with the consultant and analyze the stuff and come to some kind of conclusion. Okay, like a good conclusion would be, We've all looked at it. We decided we're going to accept the FAA's growth rate. So we've done a forecast based on that rate. This is what it shows the next 15, 20 years. So that kind of information the committee will have. And I believe the way this project is set up is the master plan committee will then report to the authority on what, I guess, what the latest conclusions have been.
And the master plan committee, we'll discuss it in a little bit, but it'll be a public hearing and be on the calendar and be on the website. And we haven't discussed minutes or whether we're going to do that. But after every task is completed, okay, and they're sequential, some build in other areas. We do investigation before we put stuff on paper, on plans, for example. After each task is completed, it's presented to the master plan committee for discussion and validation. I guess backing up before that, the intent is to have the master plan also get involved in the process, or at least the information that feeds the data being collected and the recommendations being provided by Gail.
That would be good for you to do
too. I have one of the items under old business as to the master plan committee and its report. So let's talk about that when we get to it.
Okay.
Okay. Wes, did you have a question?
Well, I applaud Mr. Scheifel, Weston Lou for the recordings. I applaud Mr. Scheifel's volunteering to put a calendar up there. I think that I've always wondered why, for instance, the Airport Authority only met once a month. A lot of this business doesn't have to be done on a Wednesday night. I know that other airport authorities and commissions meet other days of the week, and you know, you could meet on a Saturday morning, just so long as it's published, I believe, satisfies the legal requirement. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you're required to have an agenda, but I believe that literally, if you publish the appropriate number of days in advance, that Mr. Scheifel and anyone, you know, any one of the other members are going to have breakfast at Sandy's on Saturday morning at 9:00. That, you know, and the public's invited, that would satisfy the requirement. So if there's a calendar and you know, like any good business, you can see into the future that you're going to need to discuss issues at a certain time, then I don't see why you're limited to one Wednesday evening. And that was just my comment. I look forward to seeing a calendar on the website.
Thank you. Armin, are you done?
I think so.
Thank you.
Just on the subject of Wes's comments and the calendar, when we have an emergency thing we need to discuss as a group, I can remember one time that we did have, you know, throw it on a calendar, we're meeting tomorrow, okay? So as long as it gets published 24 hours in advance and it goes on the internet, we're meeting. For instance, if I want to meet tomorrow night at 7:30, as long as we get it published, we're fine. And we have done that. And also, we have had special issues. You know, as a chairman, pretty much trying to avoid making decisions on my own last year, I would call each board member up, discuss the situation with them, get a consensus, and act. Okay? At the very next board meeting, sum it up and make sure if the vote was necessary that we have it. So there's different ways of doing it, but we do our best to communicate.
All right, next is committees. We have a standards and procedures committee. At the last board meeting, we approved the new standards and procedures, and that has been posted on our website. And I want to thank the committee for all their work and their time that they put in. And it's the chair's prerogative to dissolve the committee.
I have a little comment, if you don't mind. I talked to a few of the committee members last week or so, and they would like to, some of them would like to participate in maybe doing a preface and making sure, you know, like the old one says, date revised, maybe a little bit of history, and they, some of them thought it would be nice to have their, the committee names attached to the revision, the names of the committee members. So I wanted to bring that up to you and see what you thought about that.
Thoughts from the board?
Well, the as far as part of the S&P, I would say the S&P is complete. It's 100%, and if we want to put a preface on it or a map or anything else,
so the content
it's just
is complete.
It's just part of the publication. Okay, it's not part of the S&P content, so we can do anything we want to, and I think it would be. If anybody who wants to volunteer to put that together, and then you know, it's just an administrative action as far as I'm concerned.
Well, as I understand it, the chair is talking about dissolving the S&P committee.
Yes.
So why couldn't we do that in the form of a letter from the authority to all of the members of the committee by name, which would accomplish?
Well, they want their name.
They want it public.
No, it's on the
document. Oh, on the document.
On the document.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Just so that, you know,
well,
if there's ever questions in the future,
it could
be
a page at the very end of it saying that the S&P committee consisted of the following people.
Exactly.
Is it the board's prerogative to accept and review what the committee would like as a preference or a...
No, I'm okay with it.
You don't care.
As long as the airport manager, leave it with the airport manager. He can get our feeling informally. To put the map on it, we've already discussed that.
Yeah.
And to put a preface in it, that'd be great. I took the initiative to take the chairman off. Okay, since I was chairman at the time, I saw six chairmen on there. My name was at the bottom. I said, "There's no need for this." Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the S&P for this date forward. It doesn't need to know who was chairman when the S&P committee prepared this document. Okay.
So,
thank you, David Gilman, for the record. I agree that sometimes having the names there may or may not be necessary. If the committee wants it, it sounds like a good idea for them to be on there. One of the things that was on the old S&P, which I think was really good, and we talked about it last time, and I couldn't quite hear what you were saying about it, was the introduction page. Because it sort of set a tone, and I think when the committee began to look at the old S&P with an idea for revising it, they were looking at something that was put together 20 years ago. And while there's all the paragraphs there as part of the S&P, it's hard to get a sense of what people were trying to accomplish just from looking at those paragraphs. But the cover page, which said, "This is what we're trying to do," I think was very beneficial, was helpful as a guiding sense, sort of, or the tone of the old one was, and maybe help them think about the tone for the new one. In that sense, I would say that if the committee came up with a paragraph, the Standards and Procedures Committee, an introduction, I think that would be useful, because it's their work, and rather than just all the legalese of it, even though it's not legalese, sort of semi-legalese of it, condense it into a paragraph. This is what we tried to do, this is how we did it. It would serve the next 20 years.
I'm in agreement with you, and I would like to table dissolving the committee, and we'll entertain written preface
for the next meeting
to review.
I would say dissolve the committee because their job is done, and anybody who was on the committee would like to volunteer to write a preface or get involved in that, go ahead and do so. But the S&P's done. We
right.
Vote on it. We published it. The committee has no formal job.
Well, the committee is going to come up with this introduction.
It's interesting because one of the thoughts that I had was, and I don't know the sense that you have of the people that are interested in writing a preface, but you would want it to be representative of the entire committee. In other words, I wouldn't want it to be just one person go off rogue and write their view of the thing. I would want the committee to... think it was a good idea.
I understand.
And probably most of them are here anyway. So.
Well, let me tell you what the committee said, okay? Someone help me from the committee on the minutes, okay? But the committee themselves decided they weren't going to get into that, okay? That it wasn't part of the S&P, and there are some members of the committee who might want to do it, but the committee as a whole did not want to vote on it. But I'll ask the vice chairman to weigh in.
Can we have some public input, please?
Yeah. Please.
You know, my thoughts are we didn't compose it. We reviewed it and revised it, so it wasn't our. Not really our baby. I mean, we revised what was there. You know, I'm trying to think of what the opening statement paragraph said. I am not opposed to having something of a very sort of general nature of saying.
So do you think?
I'm not familiar with any revision. I thought the decision was it's not really the meat and potatoes of the SP. That's not why we're here. And it was skipped.
It was kind of skipped because
I have the original.
To get into
I have several copies. How about if we leave it at this? Anybody? I mean, you can dissolve the committee or not. We can vote, but if we have to vote. But how about if anybody wants to participate or wants to put something in, get it to the board or to Steve. And, you know, if you all want to work together, feel free. If you don't...
Yeah, I mean, we can put an email out to the committee members, you know, and say...
If anybody wants to be part of the history or the preface or the, you know, having your name, or if you don't want your name, Vice Chairman David Wilkie.
I just want to say something before you comment, okay, because this whole process has been done according to the rules of forming a committee... reviewing the S&P and approving it, publicly having a meeting, okay? I mean, 2 weeks prior, mailing everybody a letter, putting it in the paper for 2 weeks, and then coming in to vote on it. And the purpose of the committee, the formal purpose of the S&P committee has been completed 100%. For that committee to continue on their own individuals and preparing a preface or other things, great. But what's important is to realize is that the legal document that's now part of all of our contracts, that phase is completed. Mm-hmm. It's time to move on, dissolve the committee, because we don't need an S&P committee anymore to conduct that process. What we need now is, and the committee doesn't even have to vote on it. That wasn't their agenda. There wasn't their charter. What we need now is just some volunteers with good writing skills who can talk to other people and help us prepare a preface. And I totally endorse any way we come up with it, throw it in there. But the process to do it doesn't require an S&P committee.
So it should be done soon, because now that the document is done and we voted to accept it, right? Now that that's done, every member of the airport should have a new copy, right? I mean, we shouldn't really be sending out new copies that aren't quite done, right? Do you give those out to all, you know, everybody on the airport?
No.
Say, hey, by the way,
somebody comes in to get an access card, they'll get a copy of the standards.
But what about people who have been here forever and they're like, oh, what do you mean you have new standards and procedures?
Well, should it not be on the website?
It's on the website.
Okay. We don't have any
intention to mail it out or
if in the next 30 days we can get someone to write a draft on the preface and or the acknowledgement of thanks for the X number of by name of the members, that can go as the first page and the last page on the already existing S&P that's on the website. Yes?
Sure.
You guys comfortable with that?
Alderman.
Thank you. David Shulman again, for the record. One of the options, when I listened to Dave Wilkie say that didn't really change anything in that sense, one of the options is to leave the old paragraph in place,
mm-hmm.
and just say, you know, at the bottom of that paragraph, revised January 2016. That way the old paragraph, which guided the previous group, which apparently guided this group, remains intact and can be a guide for just another option. It's just an option.
Sure.
Yes, sir. I think it was either the last or the next paragraph. Steve left.
is that we had agreed upon several, and Dennis as well, as I recall, was that we were going to, it was basically a commemoration of those people that participated, because we all came together for this, and it was, I don't want to say for immortality, but it was something that we had agreed upon, something we were all proud of, and it shows those folks that come in down the road after us. A precedent had been established where people get together, resolve their issues, put it on paper. We don't need to convene a meeting or a group of people. We'll just write it up the way we discussed it and put it in there. And if you got a wordsmith right here, you can probably write up most of it.
I have no objection to that, and what I'd like to do is proceed by officially, I guess the chair can dissolve a committee, and we need to vote on that.
Let's vote.
How was it formed? I mean, informed by a vote?
Do you want to follow the new rules that we voted on? Or the rules in place when we formed the committee?
Well, what do the bylaws say?
I think the chair ought to make a motion to dissolve the committee.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to dissolve the Standards and Procedures Committee.
Second.
Any discussion?
And I would entertain any preface that people would want to forward to be included in that document for the board to review at the next meeting.
In addition, we're working on a map to put up the end of it.
Correct.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Great job to the S&P committee.
Yeah.
Job well done.
Okay. Now we go on to old business. Lease Policy Committee, that's Director Stevens.
So here's just a draft charter for a Lease Policy Committee, and I'm not asking or I'm not going to make a motion to approve this charter. What I want to do is for the first time discuss this as a five-member board about what we'd like to achieve and if this is an objective that we want to pursue this year. And give you a minute just to read this. This is the same one I sent to you an email before the last January meeting, and there's been no changes to it.
I would. Why not?
Read it out loud for everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Lease Policy Committee. Objective, develop a lease policy that provides standard terms for new land leases. Background. The NAA's primary income derives from land leases, consisting of approximately 48 agreements. Most of these leases originated in the 1980s with terms of 40 years and will expire over the next 15 years. The existing agreements contain terms that are vague, inconsistent, and outdated with current real estate trends. Developing a lease policy will enable the Airport Authority and their future tenants to equitably implement new agreements that will provide continued development and use of the airport. Deliverables. Determine length of term for new and renewal leases. Next is update lease rates. Next, identify a frequency and method for escalation of rates. Next, determine disposition of improvements made to the property. Next, evaluate restrictions on non-aviation uses. Next, evaluate incentives or subsidies for aviation uses. Next, develop a lease format. And finally, other deliverables as may be added by the committee or city. Organization. The committee will be comprised of 10 to 12 members representing the city government, airport management, businesses, leaseholders, and active airport users. The committee will be chaired by an NAA director, a sample distribution follows. And here we have a makeup of two directors, two aldermen, one mayor appointee, two leaseholders, two aviation business operators at the airport, and two users from the common. Okay, I think that's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 9. 9 people were listed.
11.
Okay, 11 people were listed. discussion. We need to do something about our leases in short term, I'd say within the 6 months, because we haven't had anybody come and ask for a new land lease or to come and ask for a renewal in several years. And we need to be prepared to support the development of the airport by going to jump right onto a land lease agreement and short notice. And I feel that following the terms and the conditions that our ancestors did 40 years ago, our predecessors, I should say, is not pertinent to today's day and time. So, and the reason I have a, I have to go ask the aldermen if they want to throw a couple people on this lease policy committee, is because when it comes right down to it, the land that we're leasing belongs to the city. The city expects this airport to generate an income to pay for our operations and our capital needs. So I think the city should be involved in how we structure our lease policy and stand behind that policy in the future if there's any complaints on we're not generating enough income or we're generating too much. And so I think, of course, the business operators should be involved in that because we want to keep things competitive in this market, and we want to, garner business. And the same reason for just having a mix of a city director, directors on this board, aldermen, and users of the airport. So, comments?
Yeah.
We had discussed at prior meetings that the agreements that are in place are not consistent, and that we should strive to get to a point where we can get more consistency and a document that is uniform that we can use as a base for not only new agreements, but of the existing agreements to update them. I applaud the list that you gave here. The number of folks is manageable. Can I assume you would be chairing the?
I'd like to lead the effort, and I almost would like to just form the committee. I'd like to be on the committee. I'd like to lead the effort to form it, and I'd like to do the same thing we did the S&P. When we form the committee, let the committee appoint their own chair.
Okay.
And I would say the caveat is that I think the chair should be an agent of the city, either from this board, from the alderman, from the mayor appointee, or something. Don't ask me why I think that.
Okay.
Sandy. I think I have something to say. We talked before, my fear, I don't want to do anything without an attorney involved. I mean, I guess we could gather information, but I don't want anything, I don't want Bob and I to write up a lease agreement.
Doesn't the city have real estate professionals?
The city owns property. I don't know if there's anyone who specializes in lease. I can try to find out. I don't know if anybody does.
What's those comments?
Yes, Wes.
If I can add a couple of things. I know at previous meetings that Wes and Lou for the recording Shane's father was involved quite a bit in the original establishment of the renting and of land, building of buildings. And my understanding is that a great deal of sweat went into that, into those documents, no matter how awful they look, to ensure that our local loan officers would be willing to lend for development at the airport. And I wasn't there, but my understanding from listening to Shane's father, Johnny McLaughlin, is that the language is very important to a loan officer. And so one, in addition to Sandy's suggestion that a legal professional be actively involved, I would, I don't know if you get a volunteer from the banking community, or I understand that one of the members of the audience used to be a banking professional.
I think
but, you know, that historically I understand has been an important aspect, and I don't think it should be, I would suggest it not be overlooked now.
The intent here is, it's not to so much go through our process in a legal form, although when it comes down to actually creating a lease document, an agreement, you know, that will be totally written by an attorney, okay, our attorney. What the intent here is to be thinking as businessmen, what is our business plan? Maybe I shouldn't call it the lease plan, but it's a lease business plan. What do we want to achieve? Okay, what are the market rates out there? Do we want to charge that? Okay, at the end of the 40-year leases, do we want to get our land back and find or renegotiate the leases? What rights do the current tenants have that have improvements on their property? We don't have answers to any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so I'm not looking for an attorney to tell me what's legal, what's not at this point. I'm looking for an organization to determine what we want to achieve as a business plan. And right now, a summary of our income, and I use some numbers off my head, is that our operating expenses are $550,000 and our expenses are up close to $600,000. So we're operating in a $50,000 deficit. That's only 10%. Okay, 10% would fix this situation, but we have the opportunity here to raise our rental rates 100%. Okay, because right now we're charging 11.3 cents per square foot per year. Okay, which equates to about a $33-$35 for a small T hanger. Those T hangers are leasing at $500 or $600, maybe let's use $450 for a typical lease. So there's a big disparity right now in that, and these leases are coming to termination. So let's put something in place. We don't have to go do anything more than raise the capital that we need to keep this organization running and keep financing our own capital projects. And whatever we do use, and we're not taking any of this home except for that stipend, whatever we do collect, we'll be able to put dump right back into this airport.
How many different leases exist today?
48.
All different verbiage and all of them?
Well, the thing is that the lease, I have found some very nice old leases that are very clear, but it seems that the problem was not in their original writing, Wes, but in the subsequent I wouldn't say revision. Somebody just changed them as they typed. It just doesn't make sense. Okay. Some of them don't make sense anymore.
I think we're getting too much into the weeds at this point.
But
and I think that's for the committee to go through and decide. And we need to decide whether we should form this committee.
I'd just like to offer one more piece of information that influences your decision about this committee. Most of the condo hangar leases, I believe, are not up for another, 8 years? So while it's worth considering the issue, there's no urgency to it. So It takes a little while to figure out what the right way to do it is.
There's always people coming in wanting to extend the lease.
New ones, yeah.
There's people always coming in wanting to extend their lease for refinancing or purchase or sell. And that could happen tomorrow. But the thing is that as long as I've been on this board, I've never approved a renewal because I personally don't like the terms of those leases. And renewing them, you're going to renew them for 20 years. You can't take any action on it for 20 years. And the renewal terms just need to be clarified. You know, it's very, some very benign things. Last at the January meeting, this board voted to use the prior year average of the CPI index in escalating our clauses every 2 years. That's a contract violation, okay, for 48 contracts. There's not a single one of our 48 agreements that says that, because we had to interpret something that made sense, because the contract, the agreement says January 1st of 2016 CPI index should be used in recalculating for that time period. Well, there is no January 1st CPI index. You either use the January 2016 or the December 2015 or the year average. So we use the number that was the less of all three this year. Now, 2 years from now, when the next escalation takes place, who knows what they're deciding to use?
Is there a large difference in those numbers?
There's not, believe it or not. But
I wouldn't disagree.
It's
with
just an example.
I'm trying to just make sure that it was better understood.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with clarity.
Sure. Jane, did you have something?
Thank you. It might be a little bit off the immediate current topic, but the comment was made that you're only charging, or originally we're only charging about a nickel and a half a foot. And I think it's important to bear in mind that if we're going to make an assumption that in effect this is the city's land, then we need to recognize that we're actually paying a lot more than that. We're actually paying about $1.40 a foot, because that is being paid in taxes,
right,
both on real estate as well as on, we actually pay taxes on the land that's owned by the city. The city taxes us on their land that they lease to you and that you now lease to us. So it's actually slightly more than that. And so there's a little bit of this, we can't actually or ought not to have it in all fairness both ways. Yep, we're going to say the city's going to be part of this process, and I think that's fine. It is their land in the long run. We need to recognize we're actually paying a lot more for the land than just a nickel a foot. We're paying quite a bit, most of which never comes back to the airport in the first place. The airport requires and asks very little of the city by way of support. I think the authority historically has done an outstanding job in terms of managing its finances very frugally. This authority has, your immediate predecessors have as well, and I think you're to be commended in that regard. I think this is extremely efficiently run to our mutual benefit. Having said that, I think we're looking at an environment in which we're seeing, as Director Scherfel mentioned a few minutes ago, declining pilot populations. Operations were up a little bit recently, thank goodness. But we're seeing fuel sales that were down year over year of about 20%, down 20% year over year. Over the last several years, it's down very significantly. In other words, aviation is suffering. It's not moving in the right direction. So you can feel it's okay to go ahead and increase fees on the backs of the users. We've got buildings that are empty, or that we're struggling to find tenants. We're working very hard on that. But I think it's important to recognize that the city receives considerable benefit from the existence of the airport in the first place, and that there's a lot more that actually goes to the city from the users than might meet the eye. And I think it's important to bear that in mind when we do have the discussions. I think the committee, incidentally, is a great idea, and the composition, I think, is well thought out. and the structure that you proposed.
And Mac Air, as a number one tenant, I think would be invited to represent, as a one number one tenant, as a number one
landholder.
Okay, landholder would be would be asked to come, and that's and Sandy, there's your attorney, okay, on the committee. That might help. And I think we don't want to discuss too many issues that the committee would take up, okay? I want to reemphasize that I just, what I want to achieve with bringing this up is, one, you're okay for me to lead this effort, identify and start thinking about who would want to participate this as a second board member, okay, because I like to see two board members on this, mm-hmm. and you're okay in authorization to start talking to our Alderman alliances and to the mayor to fill in those positions, and also come up with a process and start talking to users to fill in the other spots, bring in some candidates. What I'd like to do is bring a charter back to the board next month with names filled in, and you can vote on the committee members and the charter and the final deliverables and get the process started.
Mr. Chairman, David Cummings again for the record. I think having the committee to take a look at some of these things is a good idea. I understand that the leases ought to be standardized and some of the language. I've read some of those leases. It's a little cumbersome. I think as the cut and pasting over the years, things just got a little messed up in some of the paragraphs that are simply nonsensical.
Right.
So taking a look at those things is good. One of the comments you made, Dennis, I think that was the best of the purpose of the committee is to take an overall look at what the airport is supposed to be. To me, getting more money out of leases is sort of a strategic way to reach a goal, but the goal hasn't really been defined. And I think looking at it from a bigger level, a higher level, it's not like you were identifying there, is how are we gonna make money at this airport? And part of that is leases. Part of it is some of the other things you've been talking about. But I think we have to be careful about not getting too focused on leases as if that's the be-all and the end, because it's not. I think we need to have a general idea of what the airport's going to be. How do we get more jets here? Do we want more jets here, for instance? And so if you want to get more jets here, then your lease policy might be a little different than if you say, well, what do you do is get more money out of the existing tenants. Because those kinds of factors, what that lease is going to be, could be a factor in attracting someone or not attracting someone. So I think that to look at something broader, how the airport as a business is going to function and is going to be successful is good. I agree with Shane's comment too, by the way, about how much money the city gets. I'm a tenant in one of the rented hangars, and I don't really know exactly what my landlord pays for his land lease, but I looked at buying one of the hangars in my row, and the amount of money that I pay in rent is virtually the same as I would pay between condo fees and land lease and tax and utility bills, and all that's included, and I'd be tied up with an investment, whereas paying rent, I'm not tied up with an investment. So it's not to say that I pay this much money and only this much. There's a lot of other stuff that really makes it hard to really do anything but lease, at least in my case. So it sounds good, and I think having city involvement is good, and talking to the mayor's office or a representative, all that sounds good, but I'll encourage the broad scope look.
And the meetings will be open, Dennis, for people to go to?
These should be public meetings and published on the website for anybody to attend.
So as I understand it, you're going to bring back a final committee charter next month?
I'd like to, yes.
And then we'll vote on accepting the committee?
Yes.
Okay.
We need nominations of the names of people.
Is there anyone willing to serve on this committee, especially anyone in the banking industry?
Well, what I'd like to do is we'll send out a feeler. Okay. We'll send out a feeler the same way we do the S&P on the website and in a blast, email blast,
reach all of our users the best way we can, put a post-it on the wall at various places, and select nominations, okay? Self-nominations.
Need a fortune teller.
And with that said and done, and then I'll also talk to the mayor and to our Alderman Alliances.
You want to call it a
Alliance
committee?
Liaisons. Why am I calling it Alliance Liaisons?
Alliance sounds friendly
okay.
And collaborative.
But
what do you want to call it? What
lease
do you
policy
want,
committee,
what do you
right there.
Lease policy committee? Or
lease policy
review.
Lease policy committee.
Lease policy review.
No, we don't have a policy to review. It's
okay.
Just
right.
At least policy.
Okay. Right. Semantics.
Okay, okay. Then I'll move forward with that if I have the board's okay.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Next is old business parking lot leases.
My name's on that one too.
Your name is on that one.
Okay, we have some opportunities to generate some additional income by leasing our parking lots. And what I'd like to do is make a motion, I could discuss it first, and I'd like to make a motion to empower our airport manager to negotiate some land leases for some of our outside-the-fence neighbors and renters to park on parcels of our land. And I want to do that with a caveat that once the agreement's made, that it requires the chairman to sign the actual agreement. But here's the terms. I propose that these agreements be simple two-pagers that are month-to-month with 90-day termination clauses, because they're leases of opportunity, and we don't want to tie up any of our land that unnecessarily in the long-term leases. And these potential tenants are agreeing to that. They don't want to be tied up either. They just need a place for their employees to park, because they're parking them on the street right now. So let's get them off a perimeter road and into some leased land, and we'll make a couple thousand or more here. I'll turn it over to Steve with the details.
Yeah, thank you, Director Stevens. Basically, what we have is an empty vacant lot where the underground fuel farm was. I talked to the fitness place across the street and asked them if he'd be interested in renting that, because they have a problem with parking over there. They don't have enough parking. And he said to be interested in doing that. So we originally talked about, Dennis and I had talked about having the lot paved, and there was no interest in spending any airport authority money. We do have a big paving project coming up next summer, so maybe we can leverage that and get our paving company to put a thin layer of asphalt down.
But they don't need it. They don't need it to release it.
They don't. No, they wouldn't. You're right. The only issue would be in the springtime when it's really wet and muddy. It would be a kind of a nightmare parking over there. The other instance is a tenant across the street that has made some improvements to a section of land across the street from their building, and they've kind of taken up using it for employee parking.
What we're talking about here is doing some exploratory work, right? Talking, getting some details,
no.
Come back.
Actually, letting the airport manager negotiate a lease and finalize it and have the chairman sign it.
We're not talking about RVs showing up all over the place, are we?
I'd be interested in what the language looks like.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
I'd like to see the two-pager. I think it would be wise.
Okay.
Let's all come to agreement on what that two-pager looks like and what those limitations are.
Right.
Yeah.
So that we know what we're voting on.
Yeah.
Okay. I think then Steve can send that out to everybody. And okay, so I feel strongly that all leases should be signed by the chairman, okay? Because it just keeps anybody from just going out there. And I think for the most part, all long-term leases should be approved by the board.
Right.
But the intent here is this is a month-to-month with
90-day termination clause, and this is a more of a short-term business prospect, not a long-term leaseholder.
Well, but I think it's still a good idea for all of us to see the document before it gets signed.
Right. Okay. So, if I made a motion to approve the process, provided, and just let the chairman send a feeler out to everybody that you like the lease or you don't have the lease or you want or you have a comment on it, then that would expedite the process.
Why can't we just put it as an agenda item on the next meeting? You guys bring the recommended document, we'll okay. read it, we'll look at it, and we'll vote on it. Or change and amend it. And
that's
vote.
Fine.
Why okay. would that be the way to go?
It's just, you know, wait another month, collect our
that's all right.
money.
So we'll table this to next month.
No, well, we can table it, but is everybody okay with our airport manager negotiating leasing terms?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Thanks. I think to be able to lease some land expeditiously is a great idea. I've heard some comments going back and forth, and I just want to reinforce the ones that I think are wise. I think it's great to have the chairman sign it, but I think that it should be approved by a vote of the board. Each lease ought to be approved by a vote of the board. It's one thing to have it negotiated, another thing to have the safeguard of the chairman signing it. But I think that given that it's city land and you're responsible for it as a five-member board, the five of you ought to vote, I think, even though it's a short-term lease, on the terms of the lease, not just the standard contract that's used all the time, but to vote on it so that it's understood that the authority together did it, and then the chairman signed it.
Does that have to be done here, or can it be done?
It has to be done at a meeting.
At yeah. a meeting, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That ties his hands, though, if he's got somebody that's anxious to...
Well, how many are we talking about?
Two.
Okay, it's two, right? So we could theoretically see the document next month, give you the authority that you need.
We could have breakfast at the mid-cafe, have a meeting, and then make a decision.
I
public meeting.
Right. Yeah. I recognize the loss of 30 days worth of whatever this is, but I think it would...
No, I don't disagree with you. I don't think it's necessary for such a short-term lease, but and that's why I brought it out. It wouldn't have... I actually knew about this last month, and we didn't have time. Actually, was bringing this up last month, and we didn't have time to address it because of everything else that's going on.
But you've been negotiating for a little while, right?
Since December,
we've only just discussed the prospect of it. We haven't been negotiating anything.
Yeah,
but the intent here is to go in and collect a reasonable fee that is at least two times. What our highest inside the fence fee would be, okay? And the purpose of the month-to-month is just to make sure there's not any long-term ties or if there's any problems. We don't have any we're able to evict them, okay?
So for the next meeting, you're going to present to the board a lease.
The airport manager will.
The airport manager will present a lease,
proposed
parking lot lease for us to vote on. Wes.
Wes Liu for the recorder. The airport owns or controls the land along Perimeter Road.
We own Perimeter Road.
You own, right, so that's not a city road. I'm curious as to whether, you know, for this you would be obligated to charge the same amount for all the rest that you lease the rest of the land along Perimeter Road for.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not so sure I agree with that because the lease terms are totally different.
Yeah.
That's why we need a lease policy for one thing. But we were talking about a month-to-month, the lease of opportunity, not a long-term lease for 40 years with the tenant making substantial improvements to the property. So. That's a good point.
All right, can we move on?
Okay.
Registration fees?
Okay, that's me.
That's you.
That's me. It's going to be short and sweet. We have, I've been doing some research on registration fees because it's a hot topic. I've talked to Shane and Alderman Schoenemann and Greg and Rita at DOT, and I've reached out to Dred, so we want to have a an informational seminar. I'm trying to pick a date. Chairman Rosenblum would like to be there. So I'm shooting for March 22nd or 23rd, and I want to get an idea of who is available and who isn't, so I can set that up, you know, just to get all of the West.
I'm not sure I understand the point of the meeting. We all get a bill every year. For
yeah, our no, not that registration. Aircraft registration fees.
We all get a bill from DOT every year
right.
for our aircraft registration fee. Mm-hmm. We write a check, we send it in. I'm trying to understand what information this meeting would provide.
Well, we'd like to, some of us would like to research, you know, getting rid of the aircraft registration fees. I know there's a lot of passion about that. So Steve, I know, you know, thinks having the registration fees is good for airports. A lot of people do. So it's kind of a mixed bag, and I want to get us all together with some legislators and see which way to go, which way is right for our airports. And I know there's a lot of input from the businesses. Greg and I talked at length about his trip to NBAA and some things he encountered there. Shane and I have talked about it. So just something that I'd like to research and get us all working together on.
As I understand it, there's a lot of jets have decided to base themselves out of state because of the registration fees that state of New Hampshire imposes. Maine has no registration fee, nor Vermont. I'm not sure about Massachusetts, but it's much less.
Massachusetts used to be more, but they just recently had legislation that cut it substantially, and Shane's trying to tell you all about it.
Right.
And Greg, you have a
But also the airport receives a portion of those registration fees for our operating.
But it's hard to
so
receive.
So it's a double-edged sword to look at it. But I certainly will be happy to participate in a committee to look at that.
Well, the state of New Hampshire benefits from our sales tax deal by having Massachusetts people come up here and shop and help pay our taxes. Mm-hmm. And we sell cigarettes and alcohol on the interstate to people going to Maine and Vermont. And they don't seem to be embarrassed about that at all. So what we're saying here is, let's get rid of or reduce the registration fees and encourage more people to come in and register their planes and park their planes and buy their planes in New Hampshire. And obviously we have to sell that to the state. And the state's going to lose some money that they're now getting freebies on, and they're using it to plug other holes. So it's an attempt to organize a force to go to our elected officials at the state and say, listen, you need to help us out on this. We're at a competitive disadvantage right now, like the sales tax, like the sale of liquors, etc. We need some help on this.
Shane?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to offer an anecdotal comment in support of the comments, Director Scheifele, that you just mentioned that might be illustrative to our representatives. We were fortunate to secure a tenant. Now, it's a short-term tenant. They just came in on Saturday. It's a Global Express 5000 aircraft. Mm-hmm. It's got about a 99-foot wingspan. They're going to be here for less than 90 days. It's a $50 million airplane, mm-hmm. when new. The airplane is 3 years old. Under New Hampshire law, the aircraft registration fee for that aircraft, 3 years old, is $3 million on the Blue Book value. And that's separate from the tonnage, meaning based on the gross weight that we all pay for our airplanes. And that's a separate issue that we're not, it's not on my plate. The registration fee for that aircraft, if it stays beyond 90 days, and they will not because of this, would be $150,000 this year. And these are fees that are Now, you might say in the context of a $50 million airplane that it's a trivial amount, but you'd be surprised when you're dealing with these companies, and I'm looking at our representative from the State House, Alvin LeBrun. These companies are successful in no small part because they do watch their pennies. And our neighboring states, as Director Rosenblum has aptly pointed out, have learned that registration fees can be used effectively, very effectively, as a competitive weapon against the state of New Hampshire for the purpose of locating aircraft in the state. For example, Massachusetts eliminated its sales tax on aircraft. Nothing else to my knowledge, but on aircraft as a further inducement to keep them in Massachusetts. So,
Shane, let me ask you something. What is the revenue from that jet if it stayed here for the full year?
If it stayed here for, well, I don't want to get into too much into in public on the record about, you're talking about what a lease rate would be?
Lease, gas,
what might
maintenance,
it bring to the economy?
What kind of services,
Greg? So the rent, I can talk about the rent a little bit, and Greg can perhaps speak to the, it depends on how much the aircraft is going to be flown. But an aircraft like that could conceivably generate as much as $100,000. If let's say they were bringing in $20,000 a month in revenue, this one is not. But you could conceivably bring in that much in terms of
lodging,
rent. A reasonable rent for that airplane is going to be between $5,000 and probably $15,000. A lot depends on circumstances, and again, I don't want to talk about some
and
of
it's, yeah, and it's a trickle down effect
but
too.
In a broad picture, it would bring in that. It does down in Hanscom.
In gas, it's got to be 100 or 200,000. If it's
not going to, there's three ways that income are going to come in from any aircraft that comes to the field. You're going to have hangar rent, you're going to have fuel, you're going to have jobs, and you're going to have services. Jobs and services I combined. Every corporate aircraft that lands on this airport is going to employ anywhere between 4 and 5 people, period. An aircraft like that, if they fly an average amount, is probably going to pump 100,000 gallons of fuel out of this field. It's real money.
It's perspective, the budget amount that we're talking about here for the registration fees is $40,000 a year. You could conceivably get that and more in direct revenue per se.
There is a double-edged sword here, though, because of that $100,000 fee that the state of New Hampshire would collect, the airport would get some portion of it, which we would give away if the state did what we're asking them to do.
Right.
But on the same token, they are producing stuff for the economy in Nashua, and they're doing business here, and it stimulates our economy, which is the name of the game.
Well, I think the argument is simply that they're not coming.
Right.
I think the argument is basically they're not coming because of the fee.
Right.
So you can have the argument that you blew in the face that we're giving them money, but we're giving away nothing because they're not coming.
Exactly.
And they're not coming, and we actually know that. We've had experience, and I've mentioned that to other directors in the past, with companies that have come here, only be told by the Department of Transportation that if you stay, you owe us $300,000 for registration fees. And then the legal department writes a letter and says, get the airplane out of New Hampshire tomorrow.
So what do they do, just fly down to Hanscom for one day and come back, and then they're satisfied?
No. You can't. I know where you're going, but that's not possible. In this case that I'm making reference to, they went back to Vermont.
Yeah.
Wes?
And the state's not giving up everything, because they get how many cents a gallon for every nickel of jet fuel?
Right.
So they're 18 cents a gallon, and how many gallons of fill? So the challenge is convincing them to exchange one revenue stream they're not getting
for
another revenue stream they will get.
I don't think we need to convince anybody here that it's not a good idea. We need to convince our elected officials.
I would assume, I think we're getting it more into the committee level work.
Good job.
So it seems like there's work there for your committee.
Right, and I'd like to, to get some speakers in. So I want to know from, those of you that can be here.
22nd works for me, not the 23rd.
What works too?
The 22nd, not the 23rd.
I can't,
the 2 days you
21st, you can do? It's a Monday?
I can do the Monday.
You can do a Monday? Anybody else do a Monday?
Just put it on.
Can you guys all do a Monday, the 21st?
Are you talking evening, afternoon?
Evening. You don't know?
It should be on the new calendar.
You haven't already got that up yet?
Yeah. Well,
this is March we're talking about.
Okay,
right?
So March. Yeah, March 21st.
March.
Okay, so I'll put that...
22 March?
That'll need to be posted as a public meeting, right?
Yeah, if everybody wants to attend, we'll have to post it as a public meeting. Okay?
We're
going to
have it.
We're talking about that. I'm hoping to have it here at Webster, but I'll check.
Okay.
But I'll get all that information to Bob, who will forward it to you.
Okay.
And you know, before we move off this, and I got to compliment you in taking the lead and getting something organized for this, but this is something in my mind that is bigger than the airport authority. It's nice to sponsor it, start it, lead it, but the businesses in the industry need to make this happen.
The other airports involved too.
And,
and that's
so I'd hate to take, you know, too much control over the process and limit it when it really just needs to be more of a contributions maybe and lobbyists.
Right,
and
that's what I'm expecting this to be. Not necessarily a committee, but everybody banding together.
And awareness movement.
I'd say find a good lobbyist, find how much they're going to charge to push this thing through and build it for us, and then, you know, talk to some politicians and do this for a living. I don't know.
What about inviting other airport managers?
That's what we had talked about. Greg and I had talked earlier about sending invitations out. A lot of people fly in the restaurant on the weekends from different airports.
And what about representatives from the Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah,
and AOPA.
Okay, very good.
Well, if you were going to be inviting other people, would it make more sense to do it on a weekend day?
No.
Okay.
But thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering.
Trying to boost your sales at the same time.
I don't know. Is that better for anyone else? I'm pretty busy in March on the weekend.
All right. Next item is landing fees, which we're going to table for now.
Why are we tabling it?
Because I'm not ready to report on that.
Oh, all right. I was excited to get some money.
I also have under old business a master plan committee.
Okay, I'm going to make this a real quickie because I'm just going to turn this out and give you the intent, and I'm not going to discuss it. Guys, currently, as our engineer has told us, we've revised the price of the master plan submittal, but we were pretty much told by the DOT they don't expect the funds until September, and the danger here is trying to form a master plan committee that's going to provide direction, that kind of stuff, too early and have it lose steam. So, we'll time this with the funding and try to put together a committee together a couple months before the funding's there, and Gail can get going on it. But what I want to pass out to you is the draft charter. It wasn't, you know, the last thing I want to do is be working on something and take the lead on something when the board feels that they want to act in a different way. So Bob and I attended the last meeting, and Bob and I would like to continue working on the master plan. So I'd like the board's acknowledgement of the fact that Bob and I are working on this. I'm also involved in the other committee, so if somebody wants to be on this strongly, then I will understand.
I just want to know why you didn't call me when I told you I was interested.
Are you interested now?
I'm pretty interested.
Did you want to take this place on the committee?
Yes, that's exactly what I told you. You have my place on the committee before this meeting, okay? But I'm not going to have this conversation with you every month when I don't call you and tell you everything I do, okay? I will publish it to all the board members at the same time, okay? And I can't,
This has been going on for 18 months, so be calm and hold yourself. But you know what? When
we
you want to hear.
We both expressed interest, and you called Bob, and you didn't call me, and you went to a meeting without my knowledge. I'm just curious. I don't mind. I'm happy to do it.
Well,
just wondering
then
why
pull me aside and ask me privately, and I will tell you, but you don't have to bring it up in a public meeting, okay? That I failed to call you.
I'm
sorry. Take my place on this on this committee if you want to be involved in it. But I didn't call you because I called Bob first and he said yes, he was available and wanted to come. And how much notice did I give you, Bob?
Night before, thank you.
Yes. I got the call that day of when the group would get together and I was asked to attend. And I said, I need another board member there.
I'm fine with you doing it.
Okay.
So we're going to keep the master plan committee on old business, and unless you want to participate, no.
I'm not willing to try to arm wrestle my way onto that one.
Continue
no, thank
to
you.
Do what you're doing.
Okay. Bob, you still want to be on this?
Yeah, sure.
We're going to review this charter and approve it next month or a future month.
I'll work on it a little bit. I'll send it out to people for comment, throw stuff on there. Look at the attendees. It's pretty much somewhat the same as the lease policy because the master plan affects the entire city.
Right.
And I'll work on the deliverables. What I want to do is there's a 20-page list of deliverables from Gail. I'm going to try to sum it up on the deliverables here.
But here again, the ultimate deliverable will be a master plan that's going to be voted on by the board anyways, right?
Right.
Okay.
And what the committee does is the committee is going to be involved in week meetings perhaps every 2 weeks or every 4 weeks, depending on when Gail is ready to present.
Right.
To help participate, and maybe committee members would have different assignments to help gather information.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for participating in that committee. You wanted to have on here an asphalt project committee? No?
No, the asphalt project, as Gail had mentioned tonight, there's going to be a meeting coming up to define the scope of work for the asphalt project that we are obtaining funds for.
Okay.
And this board should appoint somebody who will work with the area manager to define that scope and prioritize area of the airport to spend our money.
When is that meeting scheduled?
As early as Friday this week or Monday or Tuesday next, we need to have the scope revised and give Gail sufficient time to write a bid package and get it out by March 15th. March 10th in my book. So, I guess I'll volunteer. If anybody else wants to accompany me, it'd be fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. We have no new business.
We do have new business.
In December, one of the airport authority's employees passed away suddenly. There was a wake, a burial, and a reception on the airport following the burial. The Midfield Cafe contributed $1,200 to to Celebrations Catering to cater the event on the airfield. And I wish to make a motion that we reimburse the Midfield Cafe in the amount of $1,200 for the providing of food and snacks and beverages at that memorial service.
Is there a second? I'll second it. Discussion.
I'm not opposed to the idea. I think it was a generous move, and I think it was it was probably the right thing to do. I just think that It might not be a bad idea in the future to have some sort of a predetermined plan and something like this that's already known in advance, and it's less of a, as an ad hoc thing. It's almost something that, not that we would, you know, I, like for instance, I would be fully supportive of spending the, you know, my portion, the huge amount of the stipend.
There you go.
As something like that, I'd be happy to sign over, whatever that is. I just think that in general, the, you know, unplanned things like this always make me a little bit nervous. I totally understand why it was done. I think it was a wonderful thing to do, and I'm happy. I would vote for doing that. I think it should be something that should be more.
And I would agree, and I think the board should agree amongst itself that if we're going to do something of this nature that requires it, a shotgun email or a phone call to would not be that time consuming to get.
This is nothing that. This is just something I did.
I know.
It's nothing I was going to come
right
to the board with.
Right. I completely
so
understand.
I'm
going
to.
My hearing's
on the board. And I do that for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, and there's the thing.
But he was an airport.
Precedents are also something that we want to be careful of, because if it becomes, well, how come you did it for this one and you didn't do it for that one? And I'm leery of stuff like that. So I think it should be more transparent. And I know this is not something you're pushing for. I'm speaking amongst us.
Any other discussion?
I'm concerned that it's a conflict of interest for this board to vote to pay a board member for these services. And not that the effort isn't appreciated, okay? And certainly your 10 is 100% right on. But you made this decision on your own to do this without the board's involvement. And now there's a motion to reimburse you for this. And if it was to reimburse anybody in this room, except the people on this table, I'd say yes. But I can't support that. If I tell you what, why don't we give us our stipends now? Give me my $600 that we have in the budget for this year, and I'll write the midfield a check for $600. I would prefer to give it out of my own pocket than have this board take it out of our budget and give it to a board member. I think that there's way too much conflict of interest, and we open ourselves up to some poor comments.
I believe that I agree that there is the potential of a conflict of interest, but I think the fact that it is out in the open and it's up for a vote dispels the conflict of interest.
It was not my services, by the way. It was a different company. I didn't do anything. I didn't make any money. I just paid the bill. And Danny's family, you know, could not afford it.
Yeah, this was done by another company. Not Celebrations is a catering company. Mm-hmm. We're not reimbursing the airfield. I mean, the Real Cafe.
Okay, then that is different.
I'm not going to vote.
I think that, let's do what the account suggested. We'll pay Celebrations to pay you back.
I don't care what to do. It's something I would have done anyway. So it was done, and it's just, you know, it's nothing I'm looking for.
Well, then I respect that. You took action when it needed to be taken before the next board meeting could vote on it.
All right, so then I'll modify my motion that we pay Celebration Caterers the $1,200 fee and let them reimburse Sandy for the fee that she's already paid them. That would be between them and Celebrations. Therefore, we're dealing with a third party.
It's kind of semantics, but
yeah. I like it.
Yeah. And where would that money come from?
Well, that's
it's going to have to come out of out of your budget, the airport manager's budget.
You know what? I propose that amendment. It comes out of our stipend budget.
Yeah, I would. I'm not opposed to that.
Okay. I'll agree. We'll see that.
Okay. I get to keep my stipend?
You can keep
indirectly.
We'll hit you up for something else.
Right.
Okay. So there's a motion on the floor with an amendment Do you want to repeat the motion?
The motion is to cut a check for $1,200 to pay Celebration Catering for the product that they provided during the memorial services for the airport employee.
With the understanding that they would then reimburse Director Adams.
That's between them and we don't need to.
We'll give a check to Sandy to deliver.
Yeah, they're not going
to
pay twice.
There you go.
Okay.
Right.
To be charged against the board stipend.
Correct.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
One abstention.
Oh, I abstain. Sorry.
Thank you. Okay. Any other new business? Any public input? Alderman Shaulman.
Thanks. Just want to go back to the discussion earlier about meetings and 24-hour notice and all that sort of stuff. I'm not sure, where does the 24-hour notice come from? It's specified as public meetings. Where did 24 hours come from?
Oh, I can pull it up.
That's an emergency.
And something to send it out.
Is it specific to the airport authorities as part of the charter or something?
But no.
It has to do with an RSA for...
Yes, it's RSA 91A.
Okay, so it does say that 24 hours.
Yes.
The other thing is about the emails or phone calls between meetings to ascertain support for something. There's nothing specifically wrong with that, as long as no action is taken until you meet and vote. So you can't say, will you give me this permission next week so I go and do it tomorrow?
Right.
You can't do that. You have to ask for the permission. Will you give it to me next week? And then when you meet, then you can get permission to move on. Okay, so I want to make sure that's understood.
Yep. Thanks. Andy?
Yes, I'd like to, and Andy Dias for the record, I'd like to commend the board and their interest in the financial statements this year. As opposed to previous years, interest in the financial statements. However, it's taken 7.5, almost 8 months to get the audited financial statements out, and I don't know who requires the audited statements and what they're used for. But as we heard in this discussion today, it's awfully hard to figure out what the business did 6-8 months ago, 10 months, a year, a year and a half ago now, and why the financial statements are the way they are, and so forth. And I would like to urge the board to figure out why it takes so long to get these financial statements out and do something to get them out in a more timely and useful fashion. Alcoa Aluminum, for instance, a $24 billion company with 59,000 employees over 31 countries, manages to get their audited financial statements out in 11 days after the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, there's something wrong here. I don't know where it is. And that's why I say I think it's up to the board to figure out.
I'd like to respond to that. The audit took a little bit longer this year because we had new staff, first of all. So the preparation time took a little longer. The auditor's report was done in October. At that time, we had to forward the report to the city to be included in the city's overall financial statements. The auditor was supposed to be here last month, and he apologized for not being here, and that's why we had it today.
Well, I understand the one-month delay here, but I'm just saying that there's something out of whack when a $24 billion company can manage to get their statements out.
Well, they do it continuously. They're doing their books every day, every week. What we have staff here is we're taking an auditor that we're not talking to all year long, because when we talk to them, then they bill us. Okay? Okay, every time you pay the... But when we don't need them. We do our own books. And, of course, we had a change of staff. Okay? So, at the end of the fiscal year, it takes a month to get your
to close it out, to close out the prior year, because you need to get your bank statements and all that kind of stuff done. And then you compile it. It takes another 2 to 4 weeks to compile all the junk that you need to give the auditor. And I think the auditor this year turned around pretty quickly in October, and we just didn't act on it, okay? So it's our fault. What we need to do is next time we're on our accountant's tail to get it done quickly, because we did that this year, the board itself needs to act faster on it. So you blame us, not the auditor.
Well, I'm not blaming you.
We just thought it's done.
I'm not blaming the auditor. I'm not blaming you, really. I'm just saying that there should be some organization. For instance, you require some information from the auditor as to what they need. You don't have to wait till the end of the fiscal year to talk to them about that. I mean, you're going to sit down and spend half a day with them, whatever, to decide what's needed. That could be done June 15th. It doesn't have to be done July 15th, for instance. And so forth, and I just think that...
Your point is well taken. We did speed up the process this year. We'll continue to speed it up for next year.
Fine.
Sean?
Thank you,
Mr. President. I'd just like to recognize the efforts of our manager, Stephen Bourne, in terms of his membership. And our participation in the Granite State Airport Managers Association. And during conversation earlier this week with Stephen, we have offered to make our facilities available for your conference in March, I believe it is. So hopefully we can make that happen. It'll take some coordination with the state or the local fire marshal's office. I think Sandy's going to work with us on that.
Yeah.
And one of the things we'll be seeking to achieve is to have one of our buildings approved as a place under the law of public assembly, which would mean that in the future, when a candidate, as for example Marco Rubio had asked to do only a few weeks ago, would like to use a hangar for a couple hours in an afternoon, the airplane is right there for an impromptu political event. They can do that, and we will probably be seeking to have Building 81 approved for that purpose, and only that purpose. But we look forward to working with Sandy, and I'd like to thank the manager, Steve, for your work with the Granite State Airport Managers Association, which we have just recently joined.
Thank you very much.
So we'll look forward to working with. Hopefully, we can get approval from the Fire Marshal's Office and host your association's meeting. Thank you.
Okay, anything else? Director's comments?
Start
with you, Sandy.
Okay, the next meeting's March 16th. Anybody have a conflict? You're good. I'll be the Grim Reaper again. Chet Losick passed away. Chet grew up flying here. 89 years old when he died. A lot of the guys who grew up flying here when they were 15, 16, they were all very close. So I did have a little luncheon in my restaurant, which I won't ask you for money for. I provided that. But he was a great guy, and he'll be missed. Leo Page, I don't know how many of you know Leo, but apparently he has had two strokes as of this morning. So I'm not sure where it stands now, but he's not well. I am meeting with the fire marshal on March 4th to see what we can get accomplished here, and if nothing, what we need to do moving forward, so that we can have some gatherings here. We had the grant assurance seminar on January 22nd. It was very informative and helpful to me. There are some brochures over by Wes, if anybody wants to have that. And that'll be when Dennis is working on the lease stuff. There is a clause in the grant assurances about what they expect from leases. So we have to take that into consideration. Been working talking a little bit with Greg on minimum standards for FBOs and getting that moving. That's also part of the grant assurances. So we've been talking a little bit about it, haven't made much headway, but hopefully that'll get going. We do need to get those moving. If there's things that you want the airport authority to know, I appreciate knowing. I try to, you know, bring it to them all. But do me a favor, and if it's something that's important to you, write a letter or an email or stop in, see Steve, do something so that it's not just always coming from me, so that they know how you feel directly, okay?
Question, Sandy?
Yes.
The minutes don't log in emails, despite some emails requesting that they be official communication. So does all communications have to be on paper in the 21st century?
Communications?
To the board.
To the board.
I can answer that, thank
you.
Okay. And I'll quote, I can't quote him. Don Davidson, when he was the chairman, if you pretty much stated, and I think this is the way we've been treating correspondence, if you address it to Don, or if you address it to so forth, and you copy somebody, then it's not official, formal communications. Okay, but if you address your email to Chairman Rosenblum, National Airport Authority, that becomes an official email to an official body, and it becomes, it comes to our minutes, okay? But you need to copy the airport staff so they can make sure they print out and put it in the agenda in the minutes, okay? So that's the proper procedures to get into the record. Otherwise, if you send Dennis something, it's between you and me, nothing, okay? Even if you put my title in there and I should take the extra step and send it to the airport manager and ask him to file it, but maybe I didn't. So always send it to the airport manager as well.
So as far as the communications, you know, people come to me because I'm at the airport all the time. And there's things that concern them or bother them, and you know, I do what I can to spread the word. But if that's as far as they want it to go, that's as far as it's going to go. If there's something that's really important to somebody, and they want the board to recognize it, send an official correspondence.
And I'm going to correct something. If you send it to me, even if you address it to Director Stevens, you just send it to me. Okay, it's not officially being sent to the airport authority unless you put Chairman Rosenblum, National Airport Authority.
Okay. The calendar that I've been talking about for a long time is in full swing. Dave Heath. And I have come up with a bunch of pictures. I have events lined up. I've gathered information from other airports and all the things going on. So if there are some pictures that you would like to have as part of a calendar, and I'm doing this as a Midfield Cafe because I don't want the airport authority to have to foot the bill.
Can I have
so
any nude planes?
Hmm?
Nude planes?
yeah. So I will... you know, I'll take information from anybody. If you have a picture that you love or something going on that you want on there, let me know soon. Hopefully I'll have that done, maybe by next month. The Granite State Airport Managers Association, as you said, is having their meeting on March 11th. Steve, I know you were looking for somebody to donate snacks. I'd be willing to do that. Hope you only have 20 people.
We have somebody that stepped up already.
Okay.
Thank you,
all right. The Aviation Museum of New Hampshire, Bob Hoover Project, is on March 12th. They're showing a. They're doing a little thing now. I have a flyer. For any of you? Hmm?
It's a film.
Yeah, film. Yeah. I have a flyer somewhere about that. If anyone's interested.
Send it to me for the calendar. Send it to me.
Yeah, I'll send it to you for the calendar. Dave DeVries, and I know many of you hopefully are interested, there's an opening on the Airport Authority in Manchester, so he thought I might be interested. I'm not, but if anybody here is interested, let him know. Or if you know somebody that might be a good fit for that position, I have the information I can forward to you.
They have to live in Manchester.
Yeah, that part, yeah. So I don't know how if you know people who live there or if any of you do live there. And Don Davidson is home from the hospital. He's been in and out, and he's home again today. Been very ill, had some more major surgeries, but he is feeling a bit more himself. So that's it.
The future of general aviation and the future of this airport is unfortunately in the hands of the young. So we need to foster the young and get them up to speed and interested in aviation, and some of the ways to do that might be to offer in your own businesses an opportunity for internships. If you feel that it might be worth something of your interest, particularly from Daniel Webster College. Steve has the packet that I picked up today from the office that's responsible for interns. It's got all the rules and what's required, et cetera, et cetera. I have been personally very instrumental in getting young people involved in Homeland Security and with the state and also with the city of Nashua, and it's been a win-win situation for all concerned. So consider it, please.
Paid intern.
Well, there's two kinds.
Yes.
There's the kind that have the that are paid like a stipend but never gets put out, or unpaid. I'm talking about unpaid. They need to want it.
Dennis.
Okay.
Good.
Just thanks to all those who, by their interest, came out tonight, and for to the rest of the group here for your hard work in making this airport a success.
I have two things. Granite State Management Association, their annual meeting. I've attended it twice past couple of years, and it's a very, very informative meeting. So to the extent you can make it, you learn a lot. It's a good meeting. This morning, the mayor gave the state of the city address, and although he didn't mention the airport directly, when he was asked from someone how that the airport is the gem of the city, how can we promote it, he said that he has high expectations for us to promote it. I feel that we have done a good job with having a lot of events at the airport these past couple of years, but I will work to increase the visibility and work with the board and the community to get the word out there and help with the publicity of that.
Who asked that question?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
A vibe of the year.
Good question. I thought it was you.
I think it was Alderman Shulman.
I wasn't there.
Who was? I was invited, but I.
Today was a breakfast somewhere, right? It was a breakfast meeting.
The chamber put it on, I guess.
Yeah. He had the one at City Hall last night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one I went to. Well, this morning you had to pay to go to. I don't pay to go to those.
Okay, anything else for the order of the good? Okay, if not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandy.